Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk. I'm Bernard Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. Today, we're going to talk a little bit more about charity than almost anything else, but talking about charity is talking about just about everything else, because charity is one of the key elements to the character of God, and God is the creator of all things. Charity is a part of God's very being, and we are made in his image. But if we have not charity, we have not him in us. We look at a lot of different things as metaphors to help us understand what we cannot see, which is a part of faith. Faith is things, evidence of things you cannot see. It's the substance of things that may not really have substance in the sense. I'm using words here in several different ways. You know, we talk about substance, and you think of the desk in front of you. You know, the floor you're standing on, that's substance. But substance, That floor is actually an illusion of substance created by force fields between atoms and molecules that construct materials that we think we are standing on. And we are standing on from a certain point of view. But there's more space beneath us than there is anything that is solid. And all the things that are solid are really simply vibrations that we don't fall through because we call them solid and because they have a field about them. But to us, when we look at it and we tap on it and it hits us in the head, we say, that's solid. That's substance. And then other things we think of as more abstract, not substance, merely ideas floating about in space, thoughts, like emails, digital electrons, projected onto a screen. It's not really a piece of paper. It's not really a substance. It's there, but you pull the plug and it disappears. But yet, to some degree, it's there too. From a certain point of view, and that's one of the things we're going to have to put in our own minds when we look at these things. From a certain point of view, different things look differently. It's the same thing. You know, there's an old story about a man, blind men, who were to describe what was before them. And one is handling it, and he's describing round with a little tail. And another one, like tree trunks, and another one. And he's, what there is they're all feeling an elephant in front of them, and they're feeling different parts of that elephant. And to them, the part they're feeling, that's what's in front of them. But the whole thing is this elephant. And so when we look at things like charity, we hear what people are saying about it. It may not be exactly what we are seeing from our point of view. And so they may describe it from another point of view. But they're still describing charity from what they can see through the eyes that they see with. And it is up to us if we are to commune with them, to not listen for them to say exactly what we see, but to learn to see through their eyes. to hear their heart, to hear their soul speaking to us. And that information that comes to us when they speak, the words, the inflection, the thoughts that they express and the way in which they express it, needs to be weighed against something that is infallible, because we are not infallible. What you hear coming from somebody is the knowledge you have of them, their words, their inflections. And to decide what they're saying solely based on that information coming to you through sound waves or emails or whatever it is to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. To decide right and wrong based on information. And that is the error of mankind, is that he thinks he can actually figure things out himself with his own brain, with his own knowledge, with the information he collects. He can decide what is good and what is evil, what is right, what is wrong. You cannot do that. And it takes humility to admit you cannot do that. And admitting it in your head is not enough. You must admit it in your heart. So whenever you listen to someone else, you have to listen to that filter of the Holy Spirit. But you can't hear the Holy Spirit if you don't have charity. So we've actually just gone full circle here. You're trying to figure out if this man is talking about charity, but you don't have charity because you're deciding what he is saying based on your knowledge and information. Now, we do this to different degrees. We do this to different extents because we are unstable creatures. We are tossed often to and fro by emotions, by the waves around us, by the circumstances of our own lives, by the circumstances in the moment. We can be affected by hormones, by having a bad day, by the fact that we're hungry, by the fact that someone we put our faith in has cast aspersions on us or betrayed us or seemingly betrayed us. And then that moves our thinking, and with that our perception, and with that our judgment. And we are tossed to and fro. But they use a metaphor in relationship to Christ as a rock, that he is stable, he is constant. We see the reference in the Old Testament of God and being precept upon precept, and God is unchanging, and he is the existing one, and he is this permanent, stable thing. Now, what we imagine God to be, that could be all over the place, and it certainly has been through the ages. But to understand this aspect of God's character, again, the metaphor of God is pure white light. If you take away one frequency of pure white light, take away the green, take away the red, it's no longer white light. It's something less. And that's what we have done when we decided to decide good and evil for ourselves, right and wrong for ourselves, to become the judges ourselves. As we cut off some of that light of God, when we tried to rule over our neighbor, like Cain did to Abel, and Cain did in his city-states, and Lamech, and Nimrod, and pharaohs, and Caesars, and rulers of the world. We cut off more of that light. We separated more of that light out from what we should be, which is the image of God. When we were in the garden, we walked with God. We have that analogy that we are walking with God. Today, we talk about God being in us and that we being a temple of the Holy Spirit. And we use these metaphors or explanations or drawn pictures in our mind to try to comprehend what it is to be saved, to have God in us, to be in accord with God. We talk about the apostles being in one accord. Were they in one accord with each other? Well, yes, from a certain point of view. But that isn't how they got in one accord with each other, by talking things out and working things out and making peace among them, although they may have done that. What really put them in one accord is they began to walk with the rock, that stable spirit, that Holy Spirit of God. And that made them brothers because they had one Father that they walked with. Again, these concepts like Father are metaphors to try to cling and give us something to hang ideas on so that we can converse about God and know about God. But you can't know about God with information only. To know God is to have an interpersonal relationship with God, and our intellectual understanding of God is constantly getting in the way of that relationship. We have to literally be able to turn our brains off, or at least a portion of our brains, and let God write his laws upon our hearts and on our mind. We are not being still and know. Another metaphor, be still and know. What I mean by turning your brain off, I'm not saying go catatonic, or like many of the Eastern meditations, and I shouldn't be Eastern because they've been all over the place, and we do it every day when you turn on the radio, where they repeat a mantra over and over again. And it fills our brain, and it shuts off a part of the projector of our brain so that we don't have more information constantly being thrown up on that screen. Well, that can be good, and that can be bad, and often it is bad because our intent is not pure. When we live life, we are brought face to face with our intent. As a bit of a humorist, I say, if a man thinks he is wise, let him marry. If he thinks he is patient, let him have children. Because in those relationships, he will come face to face with his own inadequacy, his own imperfection. Nothing like a wife to find your imperfections. That's a blessing of God in the nature of a woman, to find the imperfection, to test the metal of which he is made, so that he will realize that he is only made of clay. This whole process of discovering how wrong we are so that we can get right with the Lord requires humility, which is interconnected with charity. But what is charity? What is, we have the world's image of charity, and it is fraught with baggage that is almost true. You see, that's the way the devil works, is he gives us things that are almost completely true, but are also false. So we're going to be talking for the next 2 hours and 15 minutes or so on charity, and we will only scratch the surface. But it's going to take a lot of humility in order to see it, because the lack of charity that is in all of us, because there is some lack of charity in all of us. None of us are perfectly charitable. I can guarantee that. It's an assumption, presumption, whatever you want to call it. But I'm pretty sure I'm right about that. But it's going to take humility to see where we are lacking in charity. It doesn't mean that we are not charitable at all. It means that we have lacks, we have things missing, we have we have aspects of God's white light not yet fully realized in our hearts because there are still shadows in us. I give the example trying to explain how this works, that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. Christ gave metaphors as well, cleaning out your temple, or demons will come in and live in there and make it worse than it was before. I mean, he cast out demons, but it didn't mean they weren't coming back. You have to change. You have to make a choice. Is that choice intellectual? Is that up here in that brain, that tree of knowledge? That's the tree of knowledge, by the way, this brain in your head. There's some great artistic works where they show the brain as a tree inside your head. Well, in reality, if you look down at the dendrites under microscopes, electron microscopes, that's what your brain looks like, is a tree. And certain, they've done studies where certain attitudes of forgiveness and love and patience change the nature of those dendrites and make them alive and full of energy. But anger and hate and resentment and judgment, pride, which is required for all those, causes parts of that brain to shrivel up. Other things can affect it, such as chemistry and a blow to the head with a hammer. But the reality, there's no greater blow than selfishness to the brain. It changes it. Just as it alters the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is you, in a spiritual level. If you refuse to see the truth of your own inadequacies, if you refuse to be truly humble before your brothers, who have just as much right on the face of the earth to express themselves, to make error, to do right, to do wrong, as you do, you can see there's going to be a problem. There's going to be a problem in you. If you refuse to see the truth about you, you create a shadow in the temple where there is no light, where you will not go. Rooms in your temple that you will not look into. And that's what we need to do to find true charity throughout every room of the temple of our own selves, as we need to go into every room. We need to do serious introspection of ourselves, of our motives, of our willingness to see who we are, and to take that light of Christ into every room of our personal temples to see our inadequacies, our dark spots, where we judged, where we were angry, where we were abused and hated our abuser and judged them rather than leaving judgment to God. We must see all our foibles, all our foolishness, and look at that, because we will have no room in our temples that we will not look and shed light on. And if you go in with the light of Christ, the demons in there will flee. Now, to cast the demons or bind the demons in a person, as we hear references to in the Gospels, again, Jesus pointed out that, hey, you know, they'll be back if you don't change. If you don't change, if you do not step out in faith towards the Holy Spirit, they can come back. There's casting out a demon save someone? Casting out the wickedness in somebody, does that save someone? Saves them from that demon. But I've seen demons come back worse than those before in men who had demons cast out. And they are more lost than ever. We don't save anybody. We cannot save anybody. We have no power to save anybody. We don't have that kind of authority. They are saved by faith in God. Now, that precept is repeated over and over again. And we'll look at some of the ways that's repeated. There is structure in the kingdom. And so we draw a picture of what the kingdom looks like, tens, hundreds, and thousands. And that is structure. But there are also, that is a physical structure that is exemplified in the physical world by a spiritual structure that already preexisted it. Your hand, there are five fingers, if you count your thumb as a finger. And there are three phalanges in each of those fingers, and five metacarpals. And that is the structure of a man's hand and a woman's hand, repeated billions of times. But if a man is born without a hand, is he less a man? Because he has not that structure. When men have had hands and limbs cut off, they often still feel their hand. There, they'll feel an itch in their arm. They'll feel a pain in their arm. A doctor was going to help them get rid of that pain, so he put a mirror up to the center of their nose. And he says, with the missing arm, look over at the missing arm. And of course, when he looked over at the missing arm, he couldn't see it because there's a mirror there. He says, imagine your other arm, the arm that is there, that he could see in the mirror as the missing arm. And make them both do the same things. And a pain that had bothered that man for years and years went away. Excuse me. The mind is a strange thing. The mind is a projector on which the spirit can project thoughts. Your spirit can project thoughts. Is your spirit in accord with God so that you are walking in your temple with God? Well, that's what the Bible is trying to show us, the character of God. Now, many men have fiddled with the Bible and fiddled with our perception of the Bible so that we think that the God of the Old Testament is this vengeful God. But we don't understand the words vengeance in those terms. When a father disciplines his son because he sees his son doing something that will cause his son harm or other people harm, is he being vengeful? Is he being loving because he wants to discipline his son and show him, hey, this is wrong? I always tell my kids, like, I can't make you do what's right, but I can make it darned uncomfortable for you to do what's wrong. And that's what God is doing. He isn't quite the vengeful God that we imagine because we don't understand those terms as they were used in the original Hebrew language, because we have asked the Pharisees what these words mean. And the Pharisees didn't understand it. There was a group of people who had their own religion at the time of the Pharisees, and they said, reading the same exact Torah, that the Pharisees had it all wrong. They were students of Hebrew, and they said the Pharisees had it all wrong. So we have to find out, not simply with intellect, but with the spirit, what is right. I should have my mute button up there so I can cough. Not in your ear. But anyway, so we're going to look at this charity, and I have a number of things written on it, and we'll use those as outlines. Plus, I also have notes from all of our contact ministers that they sent me last night, and I jotted down little bits and pieces. The reference of this program is that we're going to be talking about kingdom government. Well, that means we're going to be talking about charity, because the difference between God's kingdom government and the government of the world is that the governments of the world take care of their needy and the needs of the people and the nations they hold in their hands, but not by charity. by force. But in the kingdom of God, it's done by charity, by faith. And hope are also included in that. But faith is trusting in charity, the character of charity in God's existence. And we'll talk about more about this, but the word charity that we see in the, you don't even find the word charity in the Old Testament. There are words in the Hebrew that could be translated charity, but they didn't do it because the Pharisees told us what Hebrew means. Can you imagine writing the entire Old Testament and not putting the word charity anywhere in there? How could you do that when charity is so important in the New Testament? Well, and God is the same yesterday as is today. Well, that's simply because we went to the Pharisees and asked them, and they weren't into charity. They were into enforcing contributions to the people to provide for the welfare of their society, which is coveting your neighbor's goods, which is Antichrist. And most Christians today are Antichrist, yet they think they're saved. And some of them, when they hear this, will repent, because deep down they do love God. But some of them love their religion. Some of them love the idea that they are saved, that they are believers, that they have accepted Christ. And in truth, they have not. They are under a strong delusion. They are workers of iniquity. They daily make the word of God to none effect because they have not charity. And what I wanted to say before we come to an end now is that when the same word that we see Paul using that they translate charity, when Jesus uses that word, they translate it love. So there is no difference between love and charity in the Bible, because it's the same word. It's simply translated love when Jesus says it, most often charity when Paul says it. The same word describes the same thing. So charity is not necessarily giving to people. Charity is love. And love may be disciplinary love, withholding, refusing to open the door to the virgins, scolding, admonishing, rebuking. Those are charitable acts because those are acts of love if they're done to strengthen the poor. To not feed those who will not work is a blessing if it is done with love. It is tough love sometimes. It is hard to do because there is an element in us that is compassionate. But if we do not balance that with the whole picture of God's love, of rebuking, of scolding, of admonishing, if we don't balance that personal compassion, then we will weaken the poor instead of strengthening them. And we will make the word of God to none effect. So we're going to talk about this for 2 hours straight on LibertyRadioLive.com. And we'll take calls there. We've had a little trouble with the computer, so we didn't take any calls this morning. Hopefully the sound came out. But meet us at LibertyRadioLive.com, and we will tell you the rest of the story.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.